we're live.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to your next newest installment, or it could be old installment if this is heard weeks later. But as of right now, this is the newest installment of Fans of Power. And we're hoping that if you're listening to us, that you're just as excited as we are to give this this new installment to you. And I'm Tyler T-Rex Baker. And, of course, with me is the Horde Scientist, the Rotten Amato himself, Joseph Amato.
Well, thank you very much. I'm here as my Joe Locke. But yes, I'm here. So, T-Rex, I was going to say real quick, I went to the store and, you know, like I said, I know the classics figures ain't in the stores and you don't have a, you know, real line. But just to go into the stores and find some stuff, I finally went to Walmart and found some Loyal Subject figures. And I know that's nothing super amazing for everybody else since everybody's been finding these figures. But for me, it was cool because, you know, I got one and it was a Chase Tila, but her leg was broke. So I was like, oh, come on, I finally find a figure, but it's broke. And of course, it's a Chase one, which sucked. But I contacted Loyal Subjects, and they said, send her in. They'll do a replacement. So they're real good about that. In case people out there have an issue with broken figures, you can contact Loyal Subjects, and you know they'll take care of you. So that was cool. But then I went back to a different Walmart the other day, and I found two more. I found a Trapjaw and a Skeletor. But I just want to show, it's like, you know, the Skeletor is... he's a pretty cool little figure. You know, I was just surprised with these things. Like, they're just, you know, they have a lot of articulation and stuff, but the detail is, it's pretty cool on them. And then from there, I went to a local Myers and they had these Dorbs. And I know a lot of people have been against those, especially like Paul Rudman. Paul Rudman, he hates the Dorbs until I told him when I seen online. I was like, hey, you see that cool Battle Armor He-Man and Battle Cat Dorbs 2-pack? And he's like, I might have to get that. So he got it, liked it, but then he's like, he contacted me a couple days later. He's like, Joe, I had to get some more of those Dorbs now. It's like, they're actually kind of cool. So, like I said, here's the little Skeletor. And they're pretty close in size, but, you know, they actually put pretty good detail. You know, they give them a little Havoc staff, and it's not like it's just a simple painted ball or nothing. As you can see, there's a sculpt to them and everything. But, like I said, you know, super amazing for others. But for me, I was just happy to go to the store and see Masters. It's like weird when you see Masters in the store, you get that feeling again, you know?
Now, are you sure you don't want to talk about this for like an hour and a half to 2 hours?
Why, am I too excited about them? No, I'm done. I had to say it because...
I mean, I guess we could spend like a good 2 hours, you know, promoting the Dorbs and promoting, you know, buy the Loyal Subjects, you know? We could tell everybody, it's like, you know what? We had some original material to talk about this evening, but we could say, ah, the hell with that. Let's promote the hell out of...
So you want me to sidetrack into these?
I was building this up in my head spur of the moment. I'm just because Joe is you know,
I'm giddy.
Is firing all cylinders and all new stuff. I'm like, why not just run with this and say, well, let's just forget what we had planned and we'll just sit and talk about this.
No, let's just go with those.
These two little figurines for a good 2 hours here, you know?
I was just excited.
I could change some sock drawers while we're at it here.
Heck yeah. Look at the Skeletor. Watch this, though. His mouth, he actually, the jaw opens up. I was like, they have an articulated mouth. I've never seen that on a Skeletor figure. Okay, I'm done. I just thought that was pretty
good. I believe I'm not saying that to cut Joe short. I was only having fun with that because I've yet to purchase any of these things because... there's three Walmarts in my area, but the closest one is less than a mile from my house, and they have yet to put them in there. And I'm just, you know, when Joe told me how much they were, $12 a piece, I'm like, it's hard for me to justify to go out of my way a little bit to spend $12 on, you know, it's little too hard for me to pull the trigger to go out of my way. I have to find myself going to one of these Walmarts for, I don't know, I just...
No, if you ever did just one, I mean, heck, if you just had a little extra cash, wanted to get one, it's cool. I mean,
make it sell at $12 is just like loose change you find in the, you know, in between seats or underneath your car seat in your car.
Well, hey, if it makes you feel better.
I found $12 in change here. By God, I'm going to my local Walmart.
Well, hey, the Dorbs, though, these are only $7.99. So listen, you can.
If people have listened to Joe on other podcasts besides this one, they'll have a good. Understanding that Joe likes to downsize any kind of large purchase as if like it's, you know, no different than buying one of those little 25 cent trinket little containers at your local Kmart or Chris Paulson, a local Hills if it was still around, or your local Walmart, as if like You know, come on, people. I mean, come on, guys. It's only $12. Just fork it over already. He might as well be in like a bookie from Jersey, you know.
Well, I don't have I don't have a ton of money, but what I mean is, you know, hey, if you do have just
you
a little extra
all the time. I'm surprised that when they announced the prices for like the Battle Ram and the Winred and the Talon Fight, you're saying, I mean, come on, guys, it's only $112. You could live off a box of Twinkies for the next 2 weeks, but just buy one box. I mean, come on, guys.
Stop it. His head moves too. Look, I mean, his head actually moves side to side. He's actually got a swivel thing on that. Look at that. So there's some kind of articulation of the little dwarves. But hey, $7.99. So Tyler, if you go to Walmart, if you can't see him, at least look for Faker. Faker is exclusive to Walmart for the dwarves. It's gonna be super rare. At least you can have a collectible. So there, I'm done. I'm done talking about the loyal subjects. I'm done talking about the dwarves. I just had to get that on my system.
You don't want to continue this so we can be all hip and trendy and with it and down and.
Well, I thought I'm dropping them. I mean, shoot. Sorry, guys, I didn't mean to drop that. I mean, well, name drop and drop that. My fault. I'm sorry. So,
Joe is talking faster than Jake Roberts on a crack pipe right now.
Oh, that's cold. Love some Jake.
No, when I say, I mean old Jake Roberts, not current Jake. Yeah. Just clean, healthy, and sober.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking
God
about.
God bless him.
That's a honky-tonk man joke for anybody who knows where I got that from.
Yeah, oh, from some of his shoots that he does. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's from his old shoots because that was back when Honky Tonk Man was, you know, very, very out there and you know, harsh towards a lot of people, which was funny. But he since changed that whole dynamic. But
yeah,
it was just a funny joke that he made at the time about Jake Roberts because him and Jake were friends at the time. Anyway.
All right, so we're pumped. Like I said, I was all juiced up. I mean, Super Bowl's going on, so I know people are freaking out of the Super Bowl. So. How about let's do our own thing if you want. Before we get into a couple things where we do our character, profile of the week, before we do our mini comic discussion, let's just have it to where we'd have our kind of Eternian Super Bowl, our Eternian matchup, if we would, of maybe a team of five. What would be your best team of five? And you could pick whether you want to pick Evil Warriors and Heroic Warriors, anything, just a combination. If you had five great people to put together to be a team, why would you pick them, or who would you pick and why?
Heroic Warriors, I'm going to go with Clamp Champ, Cyclone, Moss Man, Lizard Man, and, well, I kind of feel like, you know, your team captain is going to be He-Man. So,
okay.
So that would be my top five, you know, because you got Lizard Man for agility. You can always throw him around. He's like a fastball special, kind of like Wolverine and Colossus. And I could see He-Man, you know, Lizard Man curls up in a ball, then He-Man hurls him. It just mows through, like, you know, a whole brigade of evil warriors or hordesmen or something like that. So that would be my top five representing the side of good and evil. I'd probably have to have an amalgam of the three major factions, with Skeletor being the team captain, Modulok representing the Horde, Too Bad, Clawful, vintage style Clawful from Clash of Arms.
Ah, yeah.
Wheeze.
That's good. There you go. I like that. Oh, that's a good team. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. Okay. If we're going to split them up with the heroes and villains, because I was almost going to mesh them together, combine them into teams. But
Joe's too more. He's more, transfixed on loyal subjects and dorbs here, aren't you?
Yeah, I got
this improv second team here. Were you
exactly? So on the heroes, yes, of course. Yeah, you have to, you know, have He-Man as the leader of the team or whatever. But okay, you can have somebody like Mechaneck. Now, here's the thing: like, let's say if it is some kind of whatever kind of sporting event it might be, or somebody, you need that guy with the good sight to see when things are opened up. When you could get to a certain spot, I want to be the person, whether they're throwing a ball, whether they're throwing a discus or something, maybe he's the one that could spot openings and who could be like free or in a certain position. And then you have to figure out who'd be the person that would have the speed to maybe go through. And what's weird is I've been sitting here thinking, besides, like, you know, Cyclone, who can maybe, you know, go flying around, which could be kind of cheating if it's flying characters, especially.
Wait a second here.
Hold up. Listen, so like I said, if I was to pick Cyclone, because like I said, the villains don't really have people that can go flying around, so it's kind of cheating. But if I was to pick him for speed, I always thought...
He wants us to feel sorry for the bad guys who cheat no matter what the situation is.
Well, shut up. So like I said...
You're like a millennial apologist for evil, you know? This is...
Well, look, so, and then, of course, you gotta have the, listen, so you gotta have the Juggernaut that'll blast through people. So, you know, Juggernaut, you gotta do Ram Man so he can be blasting through, going through people. Then you can have an Extendar, because Extendar is the one that can maybe be reaching out to grab things at extra reach or something to get where they need to go. So that's, I think I said about four right there. Let me see, my mom, two, three, four. I don't know if I said four. I don't even know if I said five.
It's an E-Man, Ram Man, Mechanex, and Extendar. You got four.
Okay, I got four. So if I go with one more, oh geez, man, what could I do for one more? A fifth? What could be a fifth? I don't know. Could a Mossman blend in with the turf and he could camouflage or something if they had some kind of field and you wouldn't know where Mossman's at? So maybe he could
or
blend
control
in.
Grass.
Yeah, maybe he could control the grass and grab him, pull him down. When somebody's running the villains, it holds them to get where they're trying to get to. But I just thought
he
of something.
The roots out of the ground and, you know, do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that would be considered cheating since no one on the side of evil can control plants. Unless for some reason you evil seed is part of this group here, too. If you want to make sure that we are, you know, all fair and square, you know.
Right. And just to let everybody know, this is one quick this wasn't even planned for the show. This just happened right now. So we're just spitballing, just going freestyle right now. This is all just random. But I just thought of something within Babylon, all that. I can't think of a, okay, like in Thundercats, you know, you got Chitara, super quick. You know, in Transformers, you got Blur, super quick. I've been sitting here trying to think, has there been a super quick good guy or even villain in Masters? And if not, isn't that kind of strange that we've never had a super speedster? You know, I'm not going to count Dragstore going quick, but you know what I mean? Has there been somebody?
So the idea of someone who's a human tornado and cyclone.
Yeah, and I'm not, and that's why. Yeah,
play, I mean, are moving it. You know, the fast as fast as a natural disaster does not.
Shut it!
Is like
shut it. You know what I mean? Because
we got it. Doesn't count because he's not running. He's like
yeah, exactly. Since he ain't running, don't count. But no, has there ever been somebody that does that quick? I can't even think of nobody. Or maybe in Filmation, because you're the Filmation expert. I figured maybe you'd be able to snap somebody out of your...
No, nobody's special skill was, to, I mean, other than He-Man running really fast, you know, when on the time called for it. Now, no, nobody that I could think of really had, like, you know, super speed, you know, with anything other than Cyclone. And that was, you know, he could whirl his fists up. And I'm like, well, why couldn't he do that with his legs? I mean, if the guy's torso can turn into a tornado, he just moves, you know. Is whereas, yeah. Like, if you're watching someone like Speed Demon from Spider-Man or The Flash, Quicksilver, you know, you see them and running in motion, whereas Cyclone could be 4 feet off or maybe 6 feet off the ground, but he's making a tornado with his feet and just moving forward. So he's... I think that's probably going to be. It's not really thought of because people think Cyclone is flying through the air, but
right.
I
but
think isn't it? Yeah, he's going to be my version of the Flash. If we're thinking of someone who's fast and can also take people out left and right with what he can do, Cyclone, he's a double whammy.
No, I guess no, that makes sense. Even though I just
don't disagree with me because you kind of feel like
no, I said I'm kind of in.
You don't like to say so.
Okay, well, like I said, I'll give you the
See,
flying part.
I had to poke and prod to get him. Well, you know what, Frank, that's great, but let's go with something that's better.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, it's just weird how we just were rambling this and just came to my head. I can't believe I've never thought how there's never been a speedster. And that's just, it's kind of strange. It shows a way, and again.
I guess this is where Joe says, people, if you come to my Facebook page,
here we go.
I will give you an exclusive look at speedster.
Oh, don't do that, because now you're going to make me think what, to make a custom.
This ain't about a discussion about wondering why we don't have somebody fast. This is about how Joe can make a quick buck.
Oh, that's cold.
You know.
That's cold.
Being the snake oil salesman that Joe is, you know.
Oh, but.
That's like all Joe's missing is a big top hat, a big twirly curled mustache, you know, and comes into town on his wagon with four wheels, and, you know, coffee's pulling the wagon. He unveils like his collection of customized figures here, telling everybody,
thanks.
Never before seen speedster, but don't tell anybody, you know?
Thanks a lot. No, I just, it shows what I like is, you know, sometimes there's been comparisons where, you know, people always say, oh, well, Masters maybe got this from that or this from that. But I mean, they really do have it has its own universe where it seems like it's very original. Sure, there can always be comparisons drawn to anybody, say, oh, this guy looks like that from Marvel or this from DC. But it sure shows, like I said, that they...
I really don't... I mean, people, I think, will make an obvious one of, like, Mossman and Swamp Thing, but Even as a kid, because I was aware of Swamp Thing in like first or second grade from the Return of Swamp Thing movie. I never made the connection of like Moss Man. It was just,
All right.
it's Swamp Thing and that's Moss Man. I mean, I'm looking at the cast of characters right now. I mean, I can't see DC or Marvel or really any other characters in like, popular culture or literature that would be seen as like, oh, that's clearly, I mean, Huntara definitely is like Grace
Grace
Jones,
Jones, yeah.
I mean, Destroyer, but with a good spin to it. But along those lines, no, I really can't say. I mean,
And
there
we're
was.
not going to do the no-brainer of like how they might say, oh, He-Man and Conan. No, we're not counting that. We're just thinking about, like you said, basically all the other sub-characters. The only one I've ever heard is how I said earlier. Some people say, oh, Ram-Man's kind of looks like or reminds me of Juggernaut or something, but I never even thought that because
And
Ram-Man.
it's only if you're looking at like 2000X Ram Man, where he's massive, but I but the, even that, I'm like, I don't naturally think, of trying to, oh, that's just like that Marvel character. That's just like, because, well, I guess for me, because He-Man was the first toy line that I can recall. I mean, even before I was aware of Batman and Spider-Man, the first thing was always He-Man, as early as I can remember. So it's for me to, and even Icer, I don't think Iceman
They don't feel similar. Like I said, sure, you could
no,
say they're
they
both.
don't, they don't, I mean, there may be some similar things, similar character traits that, some characters are like Strongarm, right? I think he's like Metello, like, no, just because they have metal parts. I'm like, no. And I don't think Faker is like Bizarro,
No,
because it's
even though people could do the comparisons, like the one
they
that
could if they really wanted to, but it kind of feels like, why?
Right, and there's no need to. I've never felt like they were really ripping off anything. Even just like how some people love calling the ones that are slightly familiar with Masters, but not too much. When they look at Triclops, they call him Cyclops a lot. I know you've seen that where they always will call him Cyclops. Like, no, his name.
When have I told you that I've seen that?
Oh, I thought I should. Well, okay, I guess.
Joe in implying something that he's never mentioned to me before. I've known Joe quite a while, and not once have we ever had a conversation where, you know what, people think Triclops is really Cyclops. I'm like,
Listen, I thought maybe it's because you've seen on my wall I made posts because there was this one time where I did this thing where I took a picture of Link and I took a picture of Triclops. I think that's who I put together.
you say from like Legend of Zelda?
Yes, Link from Legend of Zelda. And because people, how in the video game community, there's always people that would, for whatever reason, call Link Zelda. And so people have seen this in a
I used
lot of
to do
groups.
this when I was little. I mean, because
See?
I just, well, I said when I was little, not an adult.
Well, listen, you twit. That's what I mean. I'm just getting to it. Like I said, people would call him Zelda, and some other people still say it. So I made this meme with him, and like, where he was calling Link Zelda, and then Link was calling Triclops Cyclops, because I've seen this in the Masters community a lot of sometimes where just when
Wait,
you.
did you just say Link was calling Triclops Cyclops?
Yes, it's a meme I made.
Why would Zelda be in or why a Link? What? No sense.
They were crossing worlds and having a conversation. I'll show the picture sometime. I need.
So you're telling me you're describing somebody's fan fiction?
Well, no, I was describing how sometimes people freak out when they hear people that they know getting called the wrong name. So I made a.
Just said that you heard that Zelda was calling Triclops Cyclops.
No, but.
Where did you hear that a fictional video game character was
No!
calling another fictional character
You're not
the
getting
wrong
it!
name? Was this something
No!
you read from the jackass writing the He-Man Thundercats crossover, Vulture Pants and Tri-Chops and all these other ridiculous childish names that's supposed to be put off as humor?
No, you'll have to just see the picture I made. You'll get the gist of what I mean. See, technical difficulties went up. No, I'll put the picture up later and you.
I didn't think I was going off. I didn't think I was going off on that much. But Tyree deserved the Kent Brockman technical
All right.
difficulties here.
I'll show the fans later so they'll get the gist of what I mean. I
They're not
posted
going to
this.
get it either.
All right, well, shut up. Okay, so we're all done with that insanity. I don't even know how we sidetracked all that, but it was cool because it was bringing up other comparisons. So let's get it. Okay, let's relax. Let's calm down. I'll get you to calm down because then you can start talking here. But we'll get into our character profile for the week. And that's Buzz Off. And just to say out there real quick for one of our fans out there. There you go, Buzz Off, Buzzy. Alex Rice, five-year-old Alex Rice. He's somebody that loves Buzz Off, and he listens to our show.
And Alex Rice for a second, like the German wrestler from WCW?
No, so, yeah, it's Dan. Yeah, Dan Rice's son, Alex. He's 5 years old. He loves Buzz Off. So I wanted to give a shout out to him. So we'll let him know we're getting ready to talk about his favorite character. So why don't you start it off, T-Rex?
Oh, Alex, you've got a fantastic taste here because this was a treasured favorite of mine as a kid, even though I didn't have him as a little guy. It was a little bit older before I got him. But I did have PJs of with Buzz Off. It's on display over here in my room.
Could you get them real quick? I want to see those. And just for fans who are listening right now and not watching, he's going to get his...
It's a picture of me laying in bed, and I'm wearing my Buzz Off pajama shirt.
Oh, check it out. Oh, that's pretty cool. Oh, look at that. Look at little T-Rex.
I'm not jittery with DTs like Joe was last week.
Thanks. There you go. Thanks a lot. I know. Now you know why it takes me...
A little T-Rex.
Yep. Now you know why it takes me so long to paint a custom, because I got the DTs and the shakes and the jitters.
Yeah,
so.
he's got the ips. I think that's a reference to Kirby Enthusiasm.
Oh, never seen it, but okay.
Well, of course you haven't.
Thank you.
Sitting around watching Family Guy and eating eggs and picking berries. Should go back to Cincinnati.
All right, well, go back. Go ahead. Get back on Buzz Off.
Okay, Buzz Off. Oh, boy. I'm glad that this week we're talking about something, you know, thoroughly enjoyed here, not a god-awful comic book and a bad episode.
Thank you.
So Buzz Off is a character that I would see, you know, in the of course on the box art, and I can't really recall where I first saw him. It was just like so many characters when you get you know your first few He-Man figures, you see different characters on the backs of the cards, and Buzz Off was always somebody that early on I'm like, who is this character? I want this character. Like, and it was like that for quite a while. He just remained one of those characters that I would always hold up, like, you know, like I do with Clawful and Jitsu, Buzz Off and Mechanic. I held to a really high standard as a child because I really wanted them. I thought they looked amazing, and it's, you know, he's one of those characters too that just nothing wrong with this character. This character is one of the great things about Master of the Universe is that it successfully, I always love the name, you know, and some I can see why people might think, but then that means you're an idiot. Yes, I said you're an idiot. If you don't like the name Buzz Off, you're an idiot.
Okay.
I'm kind of at a loss for words because it's such a great character. And
did he come out in the same wave as Mechanic?
Yeah, and we're proudly displayed in the He-Man and the Insect People. And I remember for years before I actually got to look at that mini comic, I thought it was going to be about He-Man meeting Buzz Off and his people.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
I heard of it and saw pictures of the cover and thought, oh boy, it's He-Man, Mechanic, and Buzz Off, and He-Man's going to meet Buzz Off. It's going to be great. And I got it, and it was nothing like it.
Yeah, he didn't even do anything really in the comic, did he?
Not that I recall, and I didn't have the obelisk mini comic as a kid, and he's got a prominent little role in that. But I did see him in The Secret Liquid of Life, and that was probably, if I think about it, that was probably my first time seeing the character was in that mini comic, and looked amazing. And then, of course, when we talk about Buzz Off, I have to mention Disappearing Dragons.
I knew that was coming up for Filmation.
That was a total shocker. And I will say this, this was a small detailed VHS story here, but this on the VHS tape that Disappearing Dragons came out, it came with four other episodes. It was a total of five episodes. Which was a real treat to find one of those VHS tapes that had five episodes on back in the day. She-Ra had some and He-Man had some. And on the back were two pictures, a picture of Buzz Off catching Cringer, which was from Island of Fear, and a picture of Merman in the collector with Skeletor from Island of Fear also, but Island of Fear was not on this VHS tape. When I got his name, I'm thinking, what episode is Buzz Off catching Cringer in? And Merman's in the collector. What is this? But right. Buzz Off shows up in Disappearing Dragons. And as I've said before, it was one of those moments where my eyes would pop out of my head like a wolf in the MGM cartoons that saw a really beautiful woman. Mm-hmm. Brain pop out of my head. It was just Alan Oppenheimer did a fantastic job of doing a bee-like voice. And I just thought it was so cool. I mean, I the Stinger Lance, to me, I always associate. When I find out that he came with a battle axe, I thought, this sucks. Where's the lance at? Because I had not seen the figure in person. Didn't know he just came with an axe.
Mm. And with the Island of Fear, the one you were talking about, it showed his strength, because not only – you remember when I think it was like He-Man, and I thought Man-at-Arms and all were underwater, and He-Man used his feet to jump out of the water and fly in the air, and Buzz Off caught all of them. Yeah, I was like, wow. I mean, it showed he's a strong guy. And you got to see, you know, the thing for me was, you know, I love the figure. Like, when you first got the figure, I mean, man, you see this character. He's got these, oh, you know, these wings, and it's just neat to see posable wings, and he's got these giant bug eyes that look like a helmet. For me, I always thought he was wearing some kind of helmet. I never understood what this was. I was like, what is this? It looked cool because you can pop it off, but he still had his regular eyes. But I was like,
I didn't get it either. And I liked it so much better when I saw Disappearing Dragons, where the helmet is on, but it looks like that's his regular face.
I like that too, because then you also see, well, when he has it on, it's supposed to give him that special vision, remember, to where he can see things, or see infrared or x-ray, whatever. But yes, you're right. As a kid, for the toy, I was like, I didn't get the gist of that.
And it doesn't stay on very well. And I would have made it work as a kid had I had it at a much younger age. But I just, when I saw it in the cartoon, I was like, I like that. I don't like this idea of this lopsided helmet that doesn't fit the head properly.
Right.
Fortunately, it just looks like it could fall off so easily when you're playing around with it. And but you see it briefly in Island of Fear when you first meet Buzz Off. He's got the helmet tilted up, so it's clearly making an nod to the toy.
Yeah.
And on his strength, you mentioned in the Good Shall Survive, where Mechaneck and Buzz Off are in the same. No, it's, I think Mechaneck's in that episode. Dear God, I can't believe I'm doing this right now.
No,
I think Search for a Son. Search for a Son. It's Buzz Off and Tycor and He-Man. I said not Mechaneck. I'm sorry. But you see Buzz Off deflect one of Skeletor's Havoc Staff blasts just with his claw, just like that.
That's pretty cool.
You know, and you're just like, I'm a badass. I'm a buzzing badass is what Buzz Off is, man. I just love that character. Just, he's such a great character, man. I'd say if I was going to tell somebody about He-Man, you had to get like a very small list of characters. Buzz Off is a great way of saying of what they could do with the Animal Kingdom, you know, of taking a B character, giving him electronic looking wings. If you look carefully enough, they're not like that clear as day. You have to look at it, at least on the vintage story. But he's just such a great addition to the He-Man roster. Let me just look at it. I mean, his color scheme and everything is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, could you flip around to his back? I wanted to see something around his wings. Could you turn that around? I want to look at the back between his wings for something. Oh, okay. Oh, so that's more inspired by the 2000 X or MYB.
Yeah, okay. It's not needed. And I mean, I get why they did it, you know.
Well, the reason being is, you know, I didn't look at my vintage toy in a while, but I can guarantee it's not there. But in the Filmation episode on the back, he has like a fur patch, I think, that's between his wings on the back. If I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong, but I thought in Filmation, he had a fur patch on Filmation. So I wasn't sure if the vintage toy had that fur patch.
Well, I'll grab him right now.
Yeah. It's like I said, I was actually going to grab it before I did the episode. Just probably little ball things. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I forgot that's how they had to do it. But did you ever look at that in the Filmation cartoon that they actually did, you know, do a design of like it looks like, you know, fur or something between there?
I don't recall any furriness on Buzz Off, at least other than loincloth.
Well, I think I might be wrong. I mean, everybody out there can correct me too, but I think it was in Filmation, but maybe it was in MYP, but I'm almost certain there was this fur design between his wing section that they did. And I thought that was kind of cool. So one of them did it. One of the cartoons. I just can't remember which one.
I can't think right off the top of my head. I don't recall it being on the character at all, though.
I like I said, I think. I'll have to double check. I mean, I could be wrong, but
You know, sometimes I have my blanks, and I don't have anything with Buzz Off. Like I have an animation cell, and I think I have it off. It's boxed up at the moment. I had an animation.
Yeah, probably wouldn't be from the back though, would it?
No, it was a front shot of him.
Oh, okay.
And
that's all
I
right.
don't think it's in the 2000X because I rewatched Skywar today and I didn't notice anything like that.
Well, it might have been in the Island of Fear, maybe. I like I said, that's just something. But well, either way, yeah, that's why I wish there would have been more of him, you know, in the Filmation cartoons. I wish we could have got a lot more episodes because I don't know if he was just in four episodes. I can't.
I guess considering he definitely got a better treatment than a lot of the rest of the heroes that would give from the 84 and 85 wave cast of characters, which were going to be the last ones to make it into the cartoon until She-Ra came along. Buzz Off had Island of Fear, Disappearing Dragons, The Good Shall Survive, Search for a Son. Maybe it was just the four episodes. I was thinking there was another one in there.
We're not going to count the Christmas special. Yeah, I knew you were going to say that. Don't count the Christmas special.
But he was always given some good stuff. I mean, even in Search for a Son, I don't recall. I don't think he's not in it a whole lot, but he's given some decent material in it though. And Good Shall Survive. It's seeing more of his people and things like that. They're not called Andrenans in that though.
Just the bee people or something. I couldn't remember.
Pretty much. Yeah. But Buzz Off was always a character that was treated with a lot of dignity, wasn't given a lot of silly dialogue, wasn't doing silly kind of bumbling. Even though he was a season two character, he was always treated with dignity and didn't go the route of like Too Bad and Spike or, you know, it was,
right.
was treated with a lot of respect. So that was, I almost kind of felt like a B character would probably be someone they would probably really ham up and make him a little silly and obnoxious, but Buzz Off fortunately
through some all good screen time. Yeah, he had really
even in other forms of media like the Rock Warriors and a lot of the mini comics. Mm-hmm. When he's in there, like Secret Liquid of Life, the Grizzlor mini comic where he's telling the scary story about Grizzlor, no one wants to believe him. He's given a lot of meaty material, and I'm very thankful that Buzz Off, no matter what he's being used in, tends to be treated with a lot of respect. That even the writers and the artists wanted to make sure this character was, you know, represented well. And it's not a lot of characters can say that.
No, not at all. And then when you get him into MYP, he was in quite a few episodes in MYP, and you get a different type of character from Buzz Off. I mean, he's a lot stronger, prouder, of course, you know, all about his, you know, no pun intended, but his pride, as I know that's one of your favorite episodes, I think, Buzz Off's pride, but you got to see a very strong character, Lord Buzz Off, I think, right? Isn't he referred to as Lord Buzz Off?
Or? Yeah, pretty much like the leader, other than, you know, the queen of the Andrenids, but he's considered the leader of the Andrenids, the bee people, whatever you want to call them there. But stubborn, hot-headed, rash, you know, the typical archetype you see in a lot of cartoons where there's a character that's like Raphael is in Turtles, you know, the character that would rather act quickly as opposed to thinking. And not that they do that all the time with Buzz Off, because I mean, Buzz Off's pride is really playing off that character aspect about him.
Oh, we did.
A little bit of that in Skywar where he's stubborn. He's not really willing to listen to, you know, the idea of aligning himself with the heroic warriors and most of all Stratos and the Avians. But it was fine because it felt like, you know, okay, it's a different take on Buzz Off, but it doesn't feel too drastic, you know, change of personality. Whereas in Filmation, he's a loyal buddy, you know, teaming up with Mechanek, and you just kind of feel like these are the two guys that hang out at a tavern together, and then Clawful Jitsu come bursting in, and they get into a classic Roadhouse-style bar fight, you know. But with this one, he's proud, and and very narrow-minded at times, and runs his mouth. So it seems like in the episode Monster Within, he, you know, mocks Manny Face's incident for not being able to control his monster, you know, or making fun of Manny Face's monster personality, and he's like, "I was just joking, man. Just that, not that it's a." But it still kind of goes off, playing off the idea that Buzz Off talks a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
and I
whether
do like
good or bad, he talks a lot.
Yeah, and I like what you said with how he's proud. He, you know, he's hot-headed. You know, when he's getting into the fight with the three giants. You know, first, I mean, I think it's Asdar. Maybe I think Asdar is the one.
Asdar, the purple giant, I believe, the one that really gets Buzz Off going.
Yeah. And that's what gets him mad, because after he gets kind of bested, and when they go back to the royal palace and stuff, because they were supposed to be coming back with that fruit for the queen or whatever they're supposed to be doing, and they had to make up an excuse of what happened, that's when Buzz Off kind of gets Orko to the side and basically like, "Don't you say nothing." It was weird. I like how he gets in Orko's face. He's almost like, "Don't you say what happened." Almost like he's bullying Orko, because he doesn't want everybody to know what happened, that he got his, you know, butt handed
that's
to him.
How extreme his personality is, to think that Buzz Off. It's like, I mean, I think He-Man would think twice about taking on three giants immediately, just like that. Whereas Buzz Off is just like, just doesn't care. He's not used to backing down from a fight, even if it's three giants that clearly he's no match for. But it's it's just how bad and severe
it's
his
personality trait. It's something that people have done before that you can relate to.
It can be done over the top to where you just like roll your eyes because this is too much, but. It works for Buzz Off. I felt like they didn't beat it over the audience's head. It was a good episode because he obviously learns at the end of the episode to keep your cool.
Yeah, and it's almost like, in a way, you know, I don't know if they were trying to write that in there, but, you know, it's the little insect Buzz Off, the big giants, and almost like he has that Napoleon complex, like, you know, "Oh, I'm going to come back. I'm going to fight him again," which
I would argue that only simply because he's never shown that kind of character trait prior to the fight with the three giants.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a version of it, though. That's what I mean. I guess that could be
considered different. I can see it in that sense, yeah.
Yeah, but what I liked is, I like how it showed how strong he is. And this is in more ways than one. First, his body structure, because, you know, with that ambrosia, it's for his people, makes him strong. When Asdar hits Buzz Off, he hits him so hard, he flies through the ground into trees, 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 splashing, smacking him in half. They're breaking in half with the actual body structure of Buzz Off. He's so dense and hard, he's breaking trees in half. Then all the trees fall down on him. And then suddenly you see all the trees moving, and boom, Buzz Off comes up, and he's lifting up one of the trees, almost like He-Man. I was like, "That's a strong dude."
You forget already the conversation we had last week about everybody being as strong as He-Man.
But he
hearing this, Max, this for you here.
But he has his reasons. I mean, he is different.
I know he has his reasons, but it's another incident of being when a character's being punched, he's not knocked to the ground. Or knocked a few feet. No, he's knocked a great distance away. And of course, I get it. We're talking giants here. We're not talking about a standard evil warrior here smacking somebody a mile and a half away.
Now, I couldn't picture, like I said, I could picture, like, let's say if Asdar hit Man at Arms. Of course, I wouldn't want that to happen. Man at Arms flying through busting trees. You figure Man at Arms would be dead.
That too, where Man at Arms gets knocked. I mean, it's like Council of Evil. He jumps up into the air and he's like gliding through the air, coming at skills. Like, whatever, man.
There goes Tyler on the side rant. Well, I'm just saying, Buzz Off, if any person out of the Masters, which I know you love hearing them called big Masters a lot of times, but out of all the Masters, I can picture him taking that blow through those trees.
And I will give that credit and let that one slide, simply because, you know, we're talking giants here, and Buzz Off is not human. You know, he's working off insect strength with a lot of insects, you know, like ants, not the word, not just, you know, just an example. I could picture, you know, bee people being obviously quite stronger naturally without eating ambrosia on natural strength alone, just because, you know, like ants can lift so much more times their weight. I just, not that it applies here, but I just kind of feel like there could be a similarity with insect strength.
Right.
No, but then again, so that would mean something like Webstor, who's, you know, spider-like, but to me, I also picture this being in the world of MYP, the MYP universe of He-Man. I can picture Buzz Off having a fairly more extreme level of strength. If you're looking at your trading card stats here, Buzz Off strength for 2000X MYP would be quite high.
Sure. Yeah, that's, I mean, I could, he's one up there. You know, when you think of some of the masters that could be very strong. I mean, Buzz Off should be just like, well, if you were going by a certain version, I still think Extendar is very strong. Remember, he's called the Tower of Power. Remember, his power is, I mean, it gets very intense and immense once he says his phrase and he starts, you know, getting very tall and big. I always seen Extendar as being super strong. So those are some characters that have exceptions. But yeah, characters like, again, you know, just regular Man-at-Arms, Stratos, I don't see them as being super strong people, and that having that, you know, some abilities.
Certainly,
where
Man at Arms, and I like Man at Arms being played as more human like, who's just very skilled with weaponry and good for war tactics and coming up with war plans and things like that, and not necessarily someone who flips in the air for great distances and then flips and back flips in the air, and then before he lands, he still manages to stay, go back up in the air or something like that.
They went with a lot of that. MYP did go flip crazy. They went very flip crazy.
Even people who prefer the MYP over Filmation, are you telling me you embrace all the flipping around like, you know, like a blasted cricket, like Beastman would say?
They might. I mean, everybody's got the things they like, and some people might like all the flipping and stuff. And
I know, but I mean, well, like, it's no different than that in the weapon twirling that happened. I mean, specifically the first episode when he got
that first episode, yeah.
Yeah.
That was too much. Yeah, that's a whole other topic another day with all them flipping and twirling with the weapons. Well, I mean, yeah, so there's our wrap-up, I guess, of Buzz Off. And I, like I said, if I was to have a pick, I know yours will be different, but if I picked my favorite Buzz Off, I do like the MYP Buzz Off the most. I got a big kick out of him. I like I said, I liked his strength. I liked his personality a little more, even though I, you know, there's certain things on Filmation I do like, but I'm going with the MYP Buzz Off as my favorite.
I liked MYP's Buzz Off a lot. I remember my brother liked him a lot too when he was watching the cartoon with me, because he used to make fun of Filmation Buzz Off. He didn't like the voice of Filmation Buzz Off, and then we would, you know, be like two Godzilla creatures fighting each other in the hallway or something.
I actually thought it was like Bill Cosby doing his voice at one time. Like, I thought it was Bill Cosby.
Right. Now that you said that, though, there's going to be a bombarding of people doing Bill Cosby references to Buzz Off. It's just going to piss me off.
Sorry, you know? I'm
going to want to act like Dick Tracy smacking around Steve the Tramp, you know?
Side
here until they go flying out of the shack.
I'm just letting you know. I'm letting you know. When I heard his voice as a kid, I really thought it was Bill Cosby doing the Buzz Off. I thought, sorry.
And you dork. Nah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna be nothing now, but Jell-O references of Buzz Off.
You see the Jell-O pudding pops and got the busy boozy. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you. All right, I'm sorry. Tyler hates me. I apologize. So, well, you said Bill Cosby Buzz Off is your favorite. So who's your
favorite? Bill Cosby on The Simpsons, like the bulky and the man, you know.
Oh crap!
A rebel without a Cosby, you know. A knife is a good thing for slicing and dicing. You see.
So you pick on.
All I can think of is all these great cartoons doing impressions of Bill Cosby and somehow Buzz Off's being worked in there now.
Because you know it's true. That's why.
It is not true.
You know it. You're thinking of Bill Cosby all the time. So.
No, but not as... Like... You suck, well, man.
I'm sorry. Well, here. So you picked Filmation. So how about we go...
But I love 2000X and what I was trying to get before Joe decided to get all Jell-O pudding on us.
Sorry.
See you next time, eating the pudding.
All right. Well, going from our good Buzz Off, there's a mini comic we have referenced so many times of how bad it is. And
Joe wanted to ensure that we kept the idea that I stayed pissed off for 3 weeks straight. God only knows what will happen next week.
Three straight weeks. Well, I tell you, there have been fans that have been wanting us to cover this. So we are going to cover this little gem right here. And that's Leech's mini comic. That's Leech, the Master of Power Suction Unleashed.
I just want you to know that I went back and reread this for reference, and my head was starting to bother me a small bit because I just thought this is the longest mini comic written because it sucks so much. No pun intended. Dear God, man. I can't really of the coloring books, story books that I have looked at, I can't think of any other form of media that looks as ugly as this mini comic. The trap golden book. I would love to be covering that instead of this right now. I'll just put it that way.
That's saying something too. This is I have no
clue. I hate looking at the artwork here. I have it open right now.
It is the ugliest thing you've ever seen. It has the worst dialogue you've ever read. It's the worst story. I mean, the puns. I mean, like every page is full of something. I don't know. Like they're trying to sound like Batman and Robin with Holy but Laughingless Batman or something. It's just like it's nonsense. All their dialogue, but it starts off where you'll see. Apparently, Leech was chasing Merman, or Merman's running for his life, or some crap. But you see Leech, and Leech is like gigantic, and I don't mean like he's a big guy; he's a giant. And they never explain why. Like on the cover, you see He-Man and Leech look pretty close to the same size, but in this mini comic, Leech is like Godzilla size, and he sucks. Sucking in the air, he doesn't have to touch you with his hands.
Drains machines in this one.
Yeah, he drains. He sucked all the life out of Landshark. I'm like, huh? He's draining power by sucking, not by touching. And I don't know this. And one part in it, even Hordak is already gigantic in this. But it even made reference.
They do.
They say he
very
grew,
very quick, but he says he turns big. And
yeah, they said he goes twice his size.
Just looks so silly when you got Leech. At one point, is and you know what? This doesn't deserve for us to go in chronological order. The stories and art suck.
No, that's why. Yeah, because we're not going to give you the whole story because we want you guys to still read it because we're. If you want to be ruined, ruin the whole thing reading it yourself. But we're just giving you taste.
We're not spoiling anything for you. If you haven't looked at it by this point, you're not missing anything.
Yeah.
We're looking at one part here where Leech at one point is just maybe a foot taller than Hordak. And then two panels later, he's the size of Godzilla staring down Hordak.
Yeah, and then the part with, like what you said, where they're showing Hordak. First, they're showing him already as a giant. He's so big, he punched the Talon fighter out of the air. But then after that, it says, swelled to more than twice his normal size. The gargantuan Hordak flails widely at He-Man.
On this page over here, there's a small transformation right here. I didn't even notice when I looked at it because it's
yeah, it's
so
hard. Quick because you can't see the progression, but you're supposed to see the head from here to there. But still,
it's a stupid idea anyway. Just to have Hordak just grows bigger, like, well, what the hell's the purpose of having this mini comic is supposed to help sell us on the Leech character, not Hordak.
Yeah, it didn't even explain. I mean, how he
Hordak,
got so big.
The end fight has more to do with Hordak. Than Leech. And
And what's up with these damn gauntlets? Did you show that? I mean, if you could show, I wish Dirt had the power things off of his wrists. He blasts things off of his forearm guards. I'm like, what the hell is this? I don't even understand what's going on. What are these powers? But what's the purpose? The capture Merman for what? He's mad because Leech didn't capture Merman, and now he's coming to do it, and Skeletor shows up, and then he sucks the land shark dry, and my God, there was nothing that Fisto, oh my God, guys, you gotta look at it just to see Fisto. Fisto and, oh my God, Mossman.
Just walked out of the produce section of your local Kroger.
It's horrible, guys. It's like, I don't know what's, see, again, Joe's got the, never mind, I'm not going to show you because I got the jitters, but it's like Fisto in one scene, you see Fisto, Mossman, and Roboto throwing Merman as bait into the water. But when you see Fisto, it's like, He doesn't have a mustache. He just has this, like, goatee. He's got black hair. Jesus, thanks for saying that. Hold on, let me go back. When they go back to the palace after see what's going on at the beginning, King Randor's got pink hair, a pink beard. I'm like, what are these colors? Who drew this? A three-year-old? I know who colored it. It makes no sense to the whole thing.
And well, look at this right here. When they got Merman waiting to be used as bait, him and Roboto were cuddling.
Wait a second, now I gotta go back to it.
Look at it!
Okay, that's strange.
In the bottom frame, yeah. Roboto is leaning back on Merman and like they're cuddling on the shores.
It's terrible. And then I want you to go.
SpongeBob, look at it!
That's what I mean. It's like so much is happening. Like, okay, He-Man figures the only way he could stop Hordak now is by, like, doing a kamikaze dive bomb of the Talon Fighter into him.
On the page of video, I gotta kill myself.
Yeah, and so he blows up the Talon Fighter into Hordak that sends him into a portal, which I never even see the damn portal through the whole book until the end. I was like, where's this portal? And when they show everybody pointing and looking at the portal in the sky, it looks like Mossman is wearing some gigantic diaper from behind. Look at that page, Tyler, where it says...
He's wearing Depends.
He is. It's like this, and then it ends with the show the ugliest Mossman in history. It is the last panel of the entire mini comic. Show the fans out there what this Moss Man looks like. Just put it up to the screen because it's a hot. This whole thing is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life and read. Show them. Go ahead. You got the book, don't you?
Yep.
Show them this Moss Man for those who are watching us. Okay, right there. Look at what is going on in this. Go to where they can see the diaper too. Let me see that diaper right above. There it is. Yeah, there it is. You got it. Oh my God, he's got his. I don't even understand what's going on.
Moss pins on.
Whew. So we didn't, like I said, we just quickly ran through the story for you to give you parts of it. But guys, this is if you have a worse one.
Depends in that picture there.
It does. If you have a worse, if you think there's a worse one, let us know. There may be, but in my opinion, this is the worst mini comic in history. There was no redeeming factors, not the art, not the story, not
the Mantana mini comic gives it a run for its money, but at least it's. I mean, art wise, but at least the story is.
What the hell is he holding on the beginning? Look at the front cover. I never really paid attention. What is this weapon that Leech is holding that looks like a stick or a pool cue? Or what is that, too? Just the cover. I don't even understand. I don't even understand what.
This looks like it's supposed to be a green battle axe. Yeah, it's a green battle axe.
He's got a red. Okay, I see it.
Blade is green.
I never looked at that. I thought that was part of his suckers.
Oh, well, it looks like that, but it's clearly like he's holding a battle axe this.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Holy moly. Whew. So, yeah, see, we always said we'd cover it for you guys. You were wanting us to. We referenced it, and yes, we covered
Who is contacting you saying, you know, this week I've got a Major Jones for Leech, the master power.
Tell us about all that sucking he did in this comic.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. How much fan mail are you getting? It's just like it keeps piling up. Like you're getting loads from the mailman. He's dropping bundles of mail that people have took the time to write to you. Not through Facebook or anything. No, handwritten letters that they want to see. It's like,
I've got this.
The girls are sending you panties in the mail because they desperately want to see this mini comic covered.
Just tossing them, tossing the panties, saying, Joe, please.
You're like Tom Jones of many comic discussions here. They're just throwing them right at you because they can't wait to hear this.
Well, hey, we've referenced
it so much. Man.
People have asked, like I said, because we've referenced so much, they said, when are you guys going to cover this? So there, we covered, which is quite possibly the worst mini comic in history, is Leech, the Master of Power Suction Unleashed. Whew. There you go. So how's that for ending the episode, T-Rex?
How Merman looks, he looks like a devil in this one picture right here. It's the last thing I'm going to say.
Go ahead. It's bad looking. Yeah. And that's,
it looks like a human being with a beard. It doesn't look
Wait. Give him one more. Give him when they showed Merman in the first page that looked like his jaw and lips all crooked to the sides. It's like, he's our Adrian. I'm sorry. Yeah, he's doing his best Rocky impression right there. Wow.
8,000 people decided to do the Rocky improvement. It's one to, you know, smack them around.
There you go. So
I take my saloon business personal, people here. So that means right. Joe's gonna be taking every shot just to the, hey, yo, you ever seen that movie Cobra?
But I like Cobra. But you know, anyway, even with this being bad, it was still fun to discuss the Cobra. I still had fun talking about this.
There was nothing fun about this. There was nothing fun about seeing our beloved characters treated with such hogwash.
I enjoyed it, though. I enjoyed the rant. So, well, T-Rex, why don't you give everybody a mini-comic recommendation? How about that? That'll be something you could do. You've been recommending episodes to watch. Give us a good...
I gotta wash my brain out of here.
That's right. So give, yeah, there, wash it out, and after you wash it out, give us a good mini-comic recommendation.
I got a mud mine here. That's a reference to my second grade teacher who got mad ass for talking about naked girls in second grade. So she also wash out our head, our mud mines with water.
Mud mines. All right.
Yeah.
What you got for us, mud?
Brought that up. I've just shared something that happened to me in second grade with all the people who listen to this show here.
Well, hey, we got a picture of you when you were like
with the fans here.
Well, we had a lot of flashbacks. You first got a picture of you when you were like, what, 3 or 4? And then we got a second grader.
My brother was born, so I think that was age probably late 3 or early 4.
Didn't I just say 3 or 4? Didn't I just say that? Come on now.
I'm trying to be specific here. It's my childhood, not yours.
All right. Well, give us a good piece of your childhood.
If I want some quality literature here, I'm going to go with...
Oh, he's sticking through the big book. He's finding a winner. Let's see what his winner is.
Secret Liquid of Life here.
All right.
It's a solid buzz off. I take that back. You know what? Secret Liquid of Life because shout out to our buddy Larry Houston who drew it and did a lot of creating for it. But Buzz Off is featured prominently in this one. But to tie it in with that and to tie in kind of what we did with this god-awful story that we covered today, if you want to call it that, is this one.
Let's see what he's got. Okay.
Grizzly. The Grizzlord mini comic, because Buzz Off has given a lot to do in the beginning of it. He's drawn very well by Bruce Timm, and it's just a good story that hypes up the character of Grizzlord the way it's supposed to be done. Unfortunately, like Mantana and Leech were not treated that way. This one just focuses strictly on Grizzler and hyping him up to be this great beast of legend that Hordak has now got, you know, has allied himself with. Not brainwashed as a young cub, taken from his mommy and daddy or whatever the classics had you believe. You know, some nonsense like that.
Didn't that come from a UK comic story, though? I think the Grizzler origin that you just mentioned before it was in the bios. I thought it came from a UK story. I might be wrong.
It may have, but I don't know it from the UK story because I do not know a great deal about a lot of the UK stuff. Joe knows more about that than I do. So for UK fans who've heard that, I apologize. I'm not as well versed, but I like having a reason to trash the bios anyway. But
whatever reason you have.
But even if it was written in the UK canon, that's not something I would want to see. I like the idea that these creatures are nasty and evil and angry to begin with. And Hordak says, hire this man. You know,
hire him.
I don't like the idea of capturing young Grizzlor as a cub and you know, training him to be like a fighter in a cockfighting or something like that where No, that's not what I want to see. I want to picture this is like this, being a beast of legend that eats people, eats the flesh off their bones, and decides he's going to go work for Hordak because they have a great cafeteria at the Fright Zone.
That's pretty vicious. Almost gives me a Critters feel, because that's how his card back used to be for Grizzlor. I used to think he looked like one of the Critters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his card back's not the best, and he's not drawn.
I liked it. No, I liked it because it reminded me of Critters.
I get why you say Critters. I know exactly what you're talking about.
The way
on is you know, looks like a big brown critter.
Yes. Well, all right. Well, let's go see real quick before I do my shout outs. Dirt, did you have something you were going to say or no? Because I thought at one time you cut in, or was that just me hearing things?
You are insane.
Good. I'm insane. All right. Well, there. He got to cut in just to call me insane.
Was that someone something said, or Doug just wanted to say, no, Joe, I think you're nuts?
I think he's...
Oh, no, that's what all the fans are saying. Like, those are all the comments that Joe is legitimately crazy.
All right, cool. All right. That's great. I love it. Okay. Well, Well, let me do my shout outs, my nuts, my things. I was going to say, remember, always go to fansofpower.com, go to popculturenetwork.com, go to HeManWorld.com, and on Facebook, go to Masters of the Universe He-Man Ishiro Ultimate Fan Group. All great places, all great people. So until next time, have a powerful day.
Mr. Dumpling.